All right, hey, I'm going to pray for the message. Would you join me in prayer? So, Father, right now we come before you as a group, as a house, as a home, Lord, and we just pray right now that whatever I say, whatever you do, God, tonight that it would impact us. And when we leave this place, we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. God, that we would be passionate, that we would want to learn what you have to say. God, that we wouldn't be people that just sit and become entertained, but God, that we would be ones that really get on fire for what you want to do so we can go out and change our neighborhoods and our cities and the world. God, you're the ones that we've chosen, or we're the ones that you've chosen. So Lord, I just ask that we would take that seriously and be ones that really take it and hold it and do something with it. And everybody said, amen. Well, this is conversation 2 for Feel. We call it conversation because it sounds a lot cooler than sermon 2. And what we're talking about today is love, and not necessarily like the love of God, not necessarily like romantic love, but really, how do you love your neighbor? What's holding you back from really loving someone that you don't know, or loving someone that maybe you do know, but when you look at them, you don't really feel it, you don't really understand it, you don't really want to. This is something that's really, I think, a big deal because, you know, reading through the Bible, we know God is love. We understand all these things. We see the disciples love people. They do incredible miracles, and it's all out of love. But then we go home, and we don't love our families. We don't understand how to love our friends. We see people in need, and we walk by. We see people that we know that ask us things. We don't answer. We don't care. We want to care, but we don't. Has anyone ever felt like that before? It's okay to raise your hand. We're genuine people. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I felt like the Lord asked me to share about this because we want to be a house that loves well and loves all people and loves with a godly love, not with a shallow love where you just say it or it's just a motto. Does that make sense? So the questions I have is, can you genuinely say that you love others more than yourself? Let you think about it. Can you genuinely say that you see the needs of others before you see yours? Would you sacrifice what you want so someone else could have what they need? Do you love people before you love yourself? And when I say that, I'm sure some people are thinking, well, I can't love others if I don't love myself. And that's actually kind of the main thing that we're going to talk about tonight, is because I feel like that thought, and I was going through a study, and we'll talk about the verse that kind of sounds like that, that belief that I can't love until I learn to love myself, or people will take time off from church and friends and say, oh, I'm learning to love myself, I'm just with myself this week, or whatever. It's actually unbiblical, and we're going to talk about that. Obviously, you should not hate yourself, you should love yourself. But it's not something that you need to take time on and figure out in your own strength. And it shouldn't hold you back from loving other people. And so I believe this thought has been holding back revival. And honestly, nowhere in the Bible does it say love yourself first. The only argument that you can make, and I looked it up, is in Matthew 22, 34 through 40, where it says love your neighbor as yourself. So people would say, oh, I love myself, that way I can love my neighbor. We're going to look at this. So this is in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. This comes from hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, I believe so often we're so concerned with our own comfort, with our own wants and desires, that we don't see anybody else. We see them visually, but we don't see them with love. We don't see their needs. We don't see the things that they don't have that they need to have, that we do have, that we could easily give. We're so concerned. And if you think that you need to love yourself first, you're basically saying that what Jesus said is second is third. Does that make sense? You're saying, love the Lord your God, love yourself, love your neighbor. If you believe that you can't love until you love yourself, you're saying that loving your neighbor comes third. When Jesus says, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Loving yourself is not a precondition to loving other people. It's not. You can love other people right now. If you don't love other people, you can make a choice right now to first love the Lord your God so that you can love other people. You don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to like yourself. Because the honest truth is that there's people that need us to love them. That's why we're here, to love the world and to show who God is through our actions, through our words, through spending time with God. Through loving God, we love others. But so many of us, so many times the church in America is trying to figure out, how can I become more comfortable? How can I become more of who I want to be? And on the way, we forget other people. People come into the church, they're not Christians, they don't feel loved. Should that ever happen? No, that should never happen. Maybe they'd be offended at something that we believe that they don't, but they should feel loved by the way that we treat them. We don't have to love ourselves first before we love other people. The only precondition to loving other people is loving the Lord your God. So if you're a Christian, if you love God, you can be able to love other people. You should love other people. If you don't love other people, do you love God? We have to ask ourselves this question. I know I'm jumping straight into it, but I don't want to have a church that just says things and sings songs and gets together and has fun and drinks coffee, but we don't love people that are unlovable. If you only love those that love you back, do you actually love? No. The answer is no. It's easy to love the people that give you everything and treat you well, but when someone comes up in here and they don't believe, they're mean, maybe they don't look like someone that you would love, maybe they don't look the same way you want them to look, whatever, you make that choice to love them because you love God. And you should have joy in loving other people. It should make you excited to give somebody something. But often we pass buckets around. We see someone needs a car. We have people that are hungry. People need a place to stay. And we don't get excited to give. Well, we get so excited to get. We're not going to have breakthrough with earthly wisdom. We're not. And this is something that I'm figuring out as well, is that when I see somebody in need, I should be excited to give. It should be a joy for me to give away something I worked hard for. It should be a joy for me. The world that we live in, when you go to work, when you walk the streets, you go to the mall, you go to the park, every person that you look at, every person in this room, every person is looking for love. They're wondering, where is love? How can I be loved? And we have the answer. We actually have love within us. But if we hold it in, if we hold it, we don't want to give it out because we're afraid we won't get it back. Well, it doesn't matter if you get it back. It's in you. You already have it. It's not like you have this much love and if you give it away, you only have this much. God is love. He's within us. So we can give love out freely, whether we get it back or not. The answer to our unloving spirit, or maybe we love just a little bit, or maybe we only love our best friends, the answer to that unloving spirit is to count others more significant than yourself. That's what Jesus says. Count others more significant than yourself. That's a crazy way to think. Like, we say these things, we read the Bible, we talk about it, but like, actually think about that. Count others more significant than yourself. Like, they eat before I eat. They sleep before I sleep. Like, it's that kind of thinking that's gonna make this world love Jesus. We have to be a house that believes this, or else we're not even a church. We're just a bunch of people together singing songs. I want to be a church. I'm tired of playing church games. I want to be a living and active church. Raise your hand if you want to be that too. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Amen. I think everyone. Okay, we're good. But we have to be a church that's ready and willing to do what we do because of Jesus, not because of what we can get in return. And if you look at it biblically, honestly, the church is not meant to be a bunch of consumers who come and get fed and then leave. And then they starve the rest of the week. They come, they eat a bunch. Then they go, they leave the rest of the week. They're starving. Oh, I need to get back to church. I need to get back to church. Honestly, this is supposed to be a body that comes and it's full of servants. Serving each other, seeing the needs. You have something that I have, it's yours now. It's literally that simple. You have some, or you need something that I have, there you go. And we just trust God. We just trust God. That's the kind of church that we're meant to be. That's the truth of the Bible. Honestly, we should look crazy appealing to the outside world because of the way that we love each other and the way that we serve each other. We should look beautiful. Obviously, they're going to think we're weird when we just start all singing a different song. That will look weird, yeah. But the way that we treat each other, the way that we serve the church, serve the people that go to this church, serve our families, serve our coworkers that don't believe, people should know there's something different. But so often, we're so scared we're not going to get it back that we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. And then people are walking by like, who loves me? Who loves me? And we walk by, well, I'm loved. And God's screaming at us, tell them, love them, do something for them because I want them to have a chance for me. Yeah, God can reveal himself, but we're his vessels, guys. This is why we're here. We're not just working for money to pay our bills and then we die. Then we spend eternity with the Lord. We have to wake up. It's my biggest thing, man. The American church to wake up. This house to wake up. We're during worship. People are calling the police with noise complaints. Or somebody could say, anytime, anywhere, they could call up somebody at home and say, hey, I have a need. And it would be fulfilled. And they would have more than they need. And then they would give the extra. And we've seen it here too. We've had multiple people come up and say, hey, I need my rent. David Baldry needed $400 for his rent. He got $860. I think it was $860. And so we're on the right path, and it's beautiful. This church is beautiful. The people that go, you guys make this place beautiful. But I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle for good enough. Oh, yeah, one time 3 months ago we helped somebody. Check. No, it's every day. You can't survive off yesterday's food. You eat every day so you can give out every day and have the energy to do so. We're often looking to get instead of give. The Lord wants to switch those things around. We're looking to give instead of get. And what do we get in return? More of God. More of his spirit. We become closer to him. We have to get to a point where we don't really care what anybody thinks. We could give something away, something big. Your parents call you, what the heck? I paid for that car for you. And you're like, the Lord told me to do it. You don't care. Love your parents. But if the Lord tells you to do something, do it. Maybe you work so hard for one thing. Or you love a certain object, you love a certain whatever, and the Lord says, give it up, or you see somebody in need. I mean, I think we're not going to see radical change unless we do radical actions. Maybe you're wondering, why doesn't God do miracles anymore? It's because you're not willing to do any miracles with him. You just want to do little stuff because it's safe and it's comfortable and it's just enough to check the box. I want to do big stuff, guys. And I want to do it together. We're meant to do it together. I'm convicting myself right now. Your self-love will change your life. You could build a beautiful life for yourself. You can have a beautiful home. You can have a lot of friends. You can have success. Your self-love will change your life. Yeah. But your love for others will change the world. What is this about? Why do we even gather on a Thursday night? I don't really love doing this, so I don't know. It's hot up here. Guys, we gather together to become stronger, to change outside, to serve each other, to practice servant, or to practice serving, to practice loving, so that when we go outside, we're ready and we have someone to call on if we need help. We got to get ready, y'all. We got to get ready together to do this thing, to go the extra mile, because the world's not going to go the extra mile. The world's not going to give. Why would they give? They have no reason to give. But we have a reason. If we know the bigger picture, we got to act like it. And this is in the series Feel, is because oftentimes we want to feel that gratification. We want to feel loved by the ones that we love. We want to feel all of a sudden this incredible emotional outburst. Oh, I started weeping and everyone around me was crying, and all of a sudden we just gave everything away and we started praying and we did all these things. Guys, sometimes you're going to pray in a room full of people that aren't praying. Sometimes the Lord's going to ask you to sing and no one around you is going to know what you're singing. They're not going to love God. They're going to be like, what the heck are you doing? But he's calling you to use your voice to worship him in a place that hasn't heard it yet. This morning I prayed at the county commissioner's office. I think it's called the invocation. I was dressed like a 16-year-old going to prom. I was like wearing these jeans and like a dress shirt that was too big tucked in. Anyone know who Daryl Glenn is? No? Somebody does. But he's like the main guy of it. And I went there and I prayed, and it was terrifying because like, it's like, for example, there's like these like six judges or whatever, and you're facing this way, and everyone behind you is like this. And you're like praying into a mic, and these guys are just like looking at you while you're praying. They're like, so I was like, I tell you this story because there's a woman that goes to church here on Sundays, and she felt like the Lord asked her to sing, what was it? Like Amazing Grace or something. So she just sang it, like in a room full of like politicians. Who would do that? Nobody raised their hand. I don't know if I could either. I barely could pray. I could barely walk in the room and sit down. But like, she like sang. Like she didn't care. And I think it releases something. Like, yeah, maybe they thought she was weird, but they know she is different. And they know she's connected to something that gave her the strength and courage to do so. Are you going to use your voice? Because you have one. Are you going to use your voice? It's like sometimes I feel like when we go to church, we're like waiting for somebody to come and tell us like, hey guys, let's sing or whatever, like I did today. Like, we're waiting for that because, like, we have to be told. But, like, in reality, we should be doing that because of our love for the Lord. We shouldn't have to be told to worship, told to pray, told to give, told to love, because it's in us. Because we love God first. Love the Lord your God. Love others. And when it says love others as yourself, it's not because you need to love yourself. It's because oftentimes we only care about our own needs. But he's saying, care about their needs as much as you care about your own, because we're selfish beings. But can you imagine if we like all agreed to that and we did it together? And then wouldn't it be like there's one weirdo at home downtown? It's like it's all weird people. Like what we could see happen in this country, in this city, on this street. But Christians are walking around so terrified that someone's going to know. Like somebody will tell you you're having a bad day and you're like, okay. And you like run away, but like You feel bad because you know you should say something or pray. If you feel bad, that's probably conviction, and that's probably the Holy Spirit, and you should probably do that thing. Like if someone says something, and you're like, oh, there's a Bible verse for that. But then you're like, yeah. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I feel bad. I should have said it. Like, you can do it the next day, too. We're not going to be able to look at people and all of a sudden feel this crazy emotion, and then we just like have to go help them unload their groceries. Or it's not going to just bubble up in us all of a sudden, like we're just going to start loving people like, whoa. Like it's a choice. And we have to make that choice as God's church. Because people are wondering, and then we have the answer. Matthew 5:41 says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So if someone shows you honor, it's basically a competition, it sounds like. Like, outdo one another in showing honor. Obviously, if you're doing it out of competition, that's not right. No, you owe me. No, you owe me. But love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. How often do we honor people? Like, what does honor even look like? Like, you honor your boss, you honor your coworker. Honestly, I believe that it's going the 2 miles instead of one. On Saturdays when I work at a coffee shop, and it was like 2 weeks ago, I felt the Lord kind of leading me into this. And normally, you know, there's dishes, whatever, we take turns, there's three of us. We do the dishes one after another. We don't really talk about it. But on that Saturday, I was like, man, I'm going to do the dishes every time. And I don't like doing dishes, really. I don't like cleaning the whole house, but I'll leave the dishes for Brooke. She loves it, right? She loves it. I'll literally like mop and sweep and vacuum. But like the dishes, I don't know. It's just gross, I feel like. But I was like, man, I'm going to do it. I want to grow. I want to actually do this thing. I can't just say stuff and not do it. And so I was doing them every single time. I feel like I was back there the whole day, actually. And then my coworker says, hey, which is cool. Like, he's never said this to me or acted like this. He says, hey, thank you so much. I feel like you've been doing the dishes the whole day. Like, let me do them for you. And I was like, whoa. First of all, he never did the dishes anyway. So for him to ask, that is really cool. And secondly, like, he noticed, you know what I mean? Like, he noticed, he saw something different, and it's just dishes, but, like, it's not just dishes. It's a message. Like, I was speaking something by that little action, and it didn't hurt me, I didn't lose anything. It was just a cool thing. I mean, this, I don't really know this guy very well, he's kind of new. He, like, said thank you, and he, like, noticed. And then he asked to do it for me. So he honored me in a way. And he didn't even know. And I felt like I honored him by doing that. Because like in my spirit, it was like, the Lord wants to do something, so I'm just going to do it. And there's, guys, there's so many opportunities for us to actually show love and be love. And like let the Lord work in us. But if we're not conscious and intentional, we're going to miss these opportunities. And there's such beautiful stories connected to these things. If your life is boring, if you think your life is boring, you want to change, you want to move away because you're so bored or everything's predictable, well, then maybe start asking God to write the story instead of yourself. Because if you read the Bible, he doesn't actually write boring stories. Let me tell you a story. Last night, this has nothing to do, but I just wanted to tell you because it's funny. Last night, Brooke and I are sleeping. Park gets in our bed like every night, so he's in there. We're sleeping. I think I was like halfway asleep. All of a sudden, I like heard like a click. It was terrifying. It was like a door clicked or something. And so I got up. I'm like, okay. So we have like a really old house. So sometimes you just hear stuff. But I heard it. And then I looked up. And then the flashlight turns on. Because I almost like pooped. But like all of a sudden, so Park is right here, Brooke sleeps right here. All of a sudden, I'm not joking, I had like supernatural jumping ability. I was like, poof. I was in my bed, I was like, ugh. I like ran outside. I was gonna like kill someone. I was so proud of myself, actually. Normally I just like, I'm like, no! But I jumped out and I like ran out. And Brooke was standing there like this. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm gonna throw up. Like, I seriously was gonna throw up. But it's so funny. We like had to like hold in our laughter because the kids are sleeping. I don't know. I think this year just checking on Summer or something. But it is so funny. Like, afterwards, I was like, I would have beat that person up. Like, and Brooke didn't say anything. I was like, I'm not getting buff. I just like, with the strength I just had, my bravery. She just was asleep. But guys, like, for us to be able to take action, like, we have to do it. If someone breaks in, if depression breaks in, I'm just going to make this into like a pastor story. If depression breaks into your friend's life, are you going to sleep or are you going to get out of bed, jump out and run and scream and scare them and pray or whatever? Sometimes when we come home, I'll think someone's in the house. I'm just telling you guys everything. Please do not judge me. I'll walk in the house, and if I hear someone, I'll just be like, ah! That way, like, I'm the scary person. Because, like, in scary movies, it's like, they're always the scary person, but, like, what if you just became the scary one? Like, they were scared of you. So I just start screaming. Like, oh, it's so weird, but I feel like it would work. There's never been anyone in our house, but if there ever is, I'm ready, baby. There's nothing in here. Don't be misguided. So if you have like a phone, you can get your notes out or something. I just want us to write three things down so we can practically do this together. A pen, an old school notebook, your phone, whatever. We're going to write three things down. And as a church, we're going to practice these things this week together. And then next week is Thanksgiving. And then so the week after that, I want us to talk about these things and like we can maybe tell stories or whatever. Are you guys ready? Raise your hand if you're ready to go. You have something. Okay. I think that's almost everybody. So the first one is be present. Oh, no, it's not. It's listen. Listen. Sorry. So listen. Okay. I forgot I changed them. I made them all L's, so it's like cooler. So listen, guys, the world wants to know that we hear them because if you're heard, you're cared for. So we have to listen. There's so many distractions. There's so many things going on. But like listening to someone, like they can remove that stress and put it on you and like you can take it because you love Jesus. That's a way to love somebody is taking that, letting them get it off their chest. If it's gossip, shut it off. But if it's not, take it. Listen. Listen to somebody. The second one is learn. So I get coffee with people all the time. My wife does. I'm sure you get coffee with friends or whatever. But this is something that I think our generation is not great at. But when I say learn, when you sit with somebody, when you're with somebody, I want you to learn about that person. Like sometimes I'll go to coffee with somebody, and if I don't ask them questions, they like don't talk. Like, I'm like, oh, where are you from? They're like, oh, I'm from here. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Then they're just like waiting for my next question. I'm like, this is not an interview. I want to be friends. Then I'll just like keep it going because it's awkward if I don't say anything. But like so many times we just want to be asked. We just want to talk. But like we can listen and we can learn. Ask them things like, what are you passionate about? Like, what do you like to do? What was your family life like? Like, when did you get saved? Like, I want to learn about people because I want to love people. And if you learn about them, you can better know how to love them. So listen, learn, and the third one is love, which we just talked about. But like a practical an action-taking, a moving love. I don't want it just to be like a slogan that we say, like, love each other. Like when your kids fight, it's like, love each other. Like when my son acts crazy, or like coming out like, do you love me, bud? He's just like, yes. Like you just love because it's like, you just want to like move on. You know, all y'all laughing. I wonder, what is that, is conviction or what? No, everyone's like trying not to laugh. Like, no. But like, honestly, like, it's not like a, like we check a box. It's like, okay, I love today. It's like everywhere you look, you love. You see a need, you meet a need. It's simple. You have a need, the Father will provide for you. Or we can provide for each other and love each other and grow closer to God through these things. The beautiful thing about loving people is that they're going to start to see God. They're going to start having opportunities to ask you questions. Because if you know someone loves you, it's a lot easier to open up. It's a lot easier to move forward with relationship. Can the band come back up here? So we're going to go back into a time of worship. And guys, worship is love. It's loving God. It's serving God. If we can get this right, if we can figure out how to do this, where we don't want to get, we want to give. Where we listen and we learn and we love people, I think we can actually do something. People will actually be changed. Do you agree with that? Does anybody agree with that? Yeah. It's okay if someone hears you say it. It's okay if someone sees you worshiping. It's okay if people think you're stupid for giving things away or helping people. It's okay if someone says, why would you do the dishes? Like, it's not your job. You're like, you share that. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. So let's stand. Let's spread out. And I'm going to ask that you can really take this time and be intentional. Be intentional about this time. Spread out, find a place where you can talk with the Lord, write things down, whatever. Guys, don't just come here and be entertained or go through the schedule or whatever, but guys, engage with the Lord. Make a plan with him. Like, what am I going to do? Make a plan for tomorrow. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do tomorrow? If you don't know what to pray, just ask the Lord to give you signs and start making it easier for you to hear. Easy for you to see. Can everyone close their eyes? Let's just get in this space. Lord, we remove distractions right now from trying to move us away from this beautiful moment where we can actually do something with your word. We can change, we can become more like you, we can know you more, we can love you better and love other people better. God, we remove any distraction that's trying to take away from that. Lord, we're not apathetic, we're not settling for what we have now, we're not settling for how the world is. Lord, we don't hide in the back of our workplaces, of our families, of our friends, and just hope that it goes okay. Lord, we lead the way in love. We are the model of love because we know the model of love. I pray off fear of man right now from worrying about what other people are going to think. Lord, I pray off selfishness where we don't want to give. Lord, we take those things, we throw them into the abyss like your word says. Here right now, each individual person. Your friend can't do it for you, your mama can't do it for you. This is your time. Lord, bring us closer to you so we can bring others closer to you. We're a missional church. Lord, we love you. It's because of you that we're even here, we're even alive, we're even breathing. Lord, show us how to give back. Show us how to love back.